This episode is sponsored by ABI Interiors, an Australian-designed fixtures supplier specialising in high-quality kitchen and bathroom products for the modern home. ABI Interiors will turn your dream home into reality with a timeless product range that includes stylish tapware, basins, sinks, baths and showers in up to 7 signature finishes. You can visit the ABI Interior Showroom at Design Centre Chelsea Harbour or shop online at abiinteriors.co.uk.
I think with the clients, it's always about showing them that houses or homes don't happen overnight. You would not want to arrive into a house where everything is done and that you haven't really put your own little stamp on. And even if it is a little stamp, it's still very important that people, you know, we're there to help the journey, but really the journey has to be taken on by the client as well, because they must enjoy ultimately their home that they live in. So I think it's really important that clients understand about adding their own little bits of personality, and the more it grows, the better a house becomes, or the more a home it becomes.
Welcome to House Guest with me, Carol Annett, interiors editor of Country and Townhouse magazine. This week, I sit down with Saffron Aldridge and Scarlett Supple, who together launched a small, dynamic studio, Aldridge and Supple, 4 years ago. Saffron brings a unique, creative eye to each project, along with a depth of knowledge formed over many years in the fashion and art world, while Scarlett has a broad understanding and passion for interior design, having worked as a lead designer at Soho House. Together, they make a distinctive partnership. Today, I'm sitting with Saffron Aldridge and Scarlett Supple, who founded Aldridge and Supple in 2020. We're sitting in their West London studio. Aldridge and Supple lead a small, dedicated team which encompasses decorating, interiors, sourcing, and product design. Welcome, Scarlett and Saffron.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you very, very much. I love coming to your studio. Actually, you've just moved. Last time I came, you were in a different area of the building, and now you're in a slightly, is it slightly smaller, more compact studio?
But cozier.
But they are, the space is so beautiful, and it feels very much like your space. It's got the exposed brick walls. It's got some beautiful sort of old-fashioned, the kind of pieces that you'd see in like an old
museum,
apothecary or museum.
It's an old display cabinet.
Yeah, so. And even the smell is kind of just stylish.
We like to include everything.
Yeah, I know, it really is. It's lovely. And what I love about you two is that we're kind of enjoying this sort of slow movement at the moment, slow growth, slow food, slow travel, kind of taking the, feeling the love in everything. And you have really kind of crept onto the scene in a very slow way, but building a really strong foundation of beautiful interiors, lots of respect within the industry. So tell me a little bit about how it all started, Scarlett, because I think you were at Soho House, weren't you?
Yeah, I was at Soho House as a lead designer, and met Saffron actually when we started doing some private projects. She was friends with Nick, and she wanted her cottage doing up in the country.
Nick, the founder of Soho House.
Yes. Nick Jones.
And I was lucky enough to be put on the job, and it was just a really lovely
relationship. We just clicked into each other very quickly, even though I was the client. We just sort of had a similar aesthetic, but different ways of approaching things. And it was a nice conversation to have when you can sort of be similar but different in your ideas, but then come together with the result that you both want. And so working with Scarlett was just a really, it opened my eyes up too to sort of different ways of doing things. And after we'd finished the project, I always wanted to stay in touch with Scarlett just because I felt that she had something that possibly other people don't have. just a rare quality of integrity and a great design aesthetic. So we stayed in touch, and then Scarlett came to me about, she wanted to do something out when she finished her work with Soho, to do something else. And so we just started chatting, and I sort of put my head above the whatever it's called.
Parapet.
Yeah. And, you know, so my secret desire was to do interiors as well, although I had been in other careers before. So
you were a very successful model. And you traveled
long time ago, very long time ago now.
But so with a fashion and art background, so Scarlett's obviously the more studio based part of the duo. What did you think that you were bringing that would work so well together, that has worked so well together?
Well, I think that just through years, I mean, I'm much older than Scarlett. So I just think, yes, years of travel. My father, I grew up around art and artists. My father was a graphic artist. So I've always had this aesthetic around me of, you know, looking at things and being taught to look at things. And I've always loved putting rooms together, even as a child, and would go off with my father to auction houses and buy things for nothing and then put them in the rooms and make them look beautiful. It was just such a really lovely thing to do. And I feel that then with my modeling, I traveled so much, I got access to so many houses. So I've been so lucky to see, you know, you might be on a house on a set in Palm Beach and then somewhere in Montana. And then I just got to see so many different aesthetics that things just drop in into your mind and they kind of stay there. And so I think for me, it was about, you know, Scarlett's talent, but then I can bring in a different sort of view of, you know, I go and see a lot of art. So I love sourcing artwork for clients as well, and but then that's turned into ceramics and loads of other things, antiques, all sorts of things.
And Scarlett, what about for you? Because it's quite a jump from being within an organization and working for a big company and then going out on your own. It takes quite a lot of bravery.
I think that it was just a natural progression. I'd spent a lot of time, my last project at Soho House, I'd been traveling all over the world and spent a lot of time in India. Had been really inspired by textile design. And so when I was speaking with Saffron, we were talking about potentially doing a fabric range together. And then quite organically, we started looking at projects together. And I hadn't thought of having a business partner before, but it was just a really natural thing. And I love Saffron's eye and aesthetic, and we both have a real passion for antiques. So it just, we'd end up going to, you know, like the Lily Road or going to Pimlico Road and having, looking at all the beautiful things and saying, oh, we could put that in that project. And then, you know, going to Portobello Road, then going to Kempton together. It was a really just fun relationship. And then we just slowly built on that. So it was never, oh my goodness, I'm going to go from this big to by myself. It was kind of with Saffron by my side.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, Scarlett will put a scheme together and then I will kind of edit it. I've always been a very good editor. You know, I used to like look at my brother's photographer and I would edit down his photos. I've always had this sort of passion as well for just sort of knocking things back and looking at things in a singular way. So like I can see things together, but then kind of visualize it on its own in a room or what and things. And I think also with our work, it's about having a, you know, you put everything in your mind, because if you see a chair, you've got to sort of remember where you want to put it. And even though you can buy things and then put them at some point, it's quite nice when you've got all the rooms in your mind and you can visualize, and then you're like, oh, that would be perfect there and that would be perfect there. So I sort of enjoy all that side.
I think also the way you approach design and the look is very much of the moment. You know, you do a lot of upcycling, you source a lot of reclaimed materials, you like to reuse wherever you can.
Definitely.
Tell me about the project that you did on the Hebridean Island.
Yeah, so that was an incredible project. It was in a breathtaking spot, and the house that we worked on was an old ruin, and basically we wanted to restore it to something that was in keeping with the space, but it was kind of a much bigger house. So it was just kind of natural to work with all the local stone, all the, you know, we used reclaimed timbers.
I don't think there's anything new in that house particularly.
No,
I mean, it really
doors.
Is about finding everything that already exists in the world. I mean, I'm always blown away when you go into antique shops about how much stuff there is in the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
if I
stop and think about it, I will have a breakdown actually. Because you sort of, you know, we're churning out new product all the time, but there is so much that already exists that you can you know, try to use in the best way possible. I mean, I'm not saying we're puritanical about it. We, you know, obviously things get made, and, you know, it's also great to produce an industry that is still making things. But I think it's nice to have the balance.
But I also think it's there's so much more personality when you bring in a piece of furniture rather than sort of automatically going for some sort of fitted joinery. And I think that coming from that different side of it, where you're going to try and look to upcycle or to use things that are already there, that's what is so kind of appealing about what you're doing and so sort of the moment. And, you know, the projects that I've seen, and indeed, if you go onto the Alderness Supple website, they are just absolutely beautiful. Really beautiful.
I think sometimes though also people forget, you know, you can have a built-in wardrobe, but for a lot less, you can go and find a beautiful wardrobe as an antique piece that's existing, but also has a history. You know, it's always curious to know who opened that door 100 years ago or 50 years ago, and, you know, what was hanging in that wardrobe. And so everything you bring into your house will then have a story to it, which I always find quite romantic and rather lovely to make up. It's like a painting. Who looked at it before you looked at it?
And talk to me about colour, Scarlett, because you are very clever at using colour to influence the atmosphere in your projects.
Yeah, I love colour. I have slight mixed upbringing. So my dad grew up in Kenya and my grandmother is actually from Pakistan. And then my mother is English and, you know, grew up in the rolling countryside. So I find I've been thinking about it a lot recently when we've been looking at a new collection, and I have a really, you know, strong heritage, but strong, spicy colours. And then I love the natural colours that come in just from the environment. So in Scotland, as soon as we were in the space, we kind of always looked at, or when we were installing, like grabbed all the heathers or the gorse, and some of them were quite strong. But then, you know, when we were up there, the light is so saturated, we ended up kind of trying to use lots of old hemps, lots of heavy linens, like the curtains were really heavy, like heavy woven, you know, kind of wool curtains that were unlined. Then you'd have the side of it, the fringing. So it kind of, I love colour, but then you try and make it work in different environments in different ways.
But your colours and my colour palette is always quite subtle.
Yeah.
It's never a sort of pop colour. Although I love a bit of pop, but it's sort of, again, dependent on the environment.
Yeah.
I think the colours that the studio like to work with are always quite kind of gentle. It's not a sort of crazy orange, which I love, but it's not the aesthetic.
Yeah, I mean, just sitting here now, we've got these beautiful wicker baskets on the shelves against the backdrop of the brick walls, and these just lovely, I mean, you kind of, it's like a treasure trove. You just want to sort of dive in and get your hands on all the fantastic fabrics. And tell me about your own fabric. Where was that inspired from?
So that was actually inspired by a trip to Japan, actually my honeymoon, where I went with my husband James, and it wasn't really planned, but we ended up going to all these different ateliers, and, you know, the temples are incredible there. And we went in the autumn, and so there was these really bright trees and moss-coloured kind of landscapes. And in Kyoto, we just found some beautiful fragments. And so, you know, the katagomi, the naka and the stripe, they were all just kind of sudden, like feelings of, oh my goodness, I love this. This is definitely what could be one day a collection. And then probably spent a couple of years working on it, looking at the color ranges and seeing how it felt in different spaces.
And because your husband is in design as well.
Yeah, he's got his own studio, yeah, Thurston.
We won't talk about it.
No.
We are fully supportive of Thurston. Yeah, Thurston Design. There's no competition here.
And the fabrics, I mean, they are utterly beautiful. They're available through the website, and then you sell cushions and things as well.
Yeah, through the website. And then recently we've started, yeah, doing some cushions and some lampshades. And we've added some extra details. So There's some which have got the wool weave through, kind of join them together. So with the stripe, that was it was kind of an old bag, and so all reminiscent of that whole feel and look, which is really nice.
And what about makers and craftsmen? Because you're very supportive of those industries as well.
Yes, I mean, I think it's really important to support people who are trying, especially in dyeing trades, because everything is so mass produced. So, you know, we're here to try and support artists and artisans, and I feel it's really important journey. I mean, I can relate it to sort of, I went to the ballet the other night, and you know, all those arts need support, because the people that are doing, you know, either performing or the ceramicist that's making, they're so passionate. And I think it's, you know, important to give back and help them, you know, be artistic and enjoy these things.
And where do you find the people? Do you look on Instagram? Are you going out and about? How do these people sort of come onto your radar?
A little bit of both. I mean, one of the ceramicists we work with is called Lisa Berry, and her lovely little pots are in the cabinet there, sort of dark black clay with wavy designs on. Mm. And actually, Lisa is, I've known all my life, because her mother's my godmother. And so I've known, and we're both, you know, late middling 50s, and so it's a long time. But I didn't know that Lisa, she lives in Suffolk, was doing ceramics, and then I found out, and we were chatting about it, and then she started making things for the studio, and that's a new collaboration, and I love it that, you know, it's just bringing people in, but it could be a complete stranger as well. We found a lovely ceramicist in the Ladbrook Grove Church and have been working
this
with
is Barbara.
Barbara.
She's got an incredible studio just under, you know, the Westway on Ladbroke Grove, and she kind of just makes for the love of me, and we go in there and we kept trying to buy things, and she says, no, they're just kind of my
things
love.
Things I made
and we're in this treasure trove of things.
But it's wonderful that people just want to be that way and just get so much from being artistic and creative. And I think it's really good to support them. I mean, this is Barbara's work here with this sort of shattered glass on the bottom. It's so, so pretty.
Yeah, it is very pretty. So tell me about what you're working on at the moment.
So we're finishing a Muse House in Holland Park, which has been incredible. The client's quite young, and they've actually been really inspiring. They're a bit cleaner than we normally are. So it's a lot of textured plaster and stainless steel kitchen. But we really enjoyed working with them.
Has that sort of slightly taken you in a different direction, or have you kind of enjoyed doing something slightly different?
Slightly, but I've actually really enjoyed it. It's really clean, and they're quite true to what they feel. So they're very artistic themselves, and
but I think also the essence is there, the depth of what we believe in is there. So it's not a sort of, although the aesthetic is slightly different, there's still a kind of authenticity to what we do in the studio.
Yeah, that's very true, And also the antiques, they still love antiques, but it's a slight, and it's really interesting finding different things for them. And
a bit more mid-century.
Yeah. And then we're about to start on a house in Notting Hill, which is really exciting, which will be a slightly different thing as well. So a few more residential projects, which is hard and then amazing at the same time. So it's just really learning the client and getting into what makes them tick and how their life works. And, you know, the other day we were talking about their kitchen in so much detail and how they, you know, tick. And I really enjoyed that part, getting to know them and making a space for them that they're going to be in every day, and it, you know.
But if anyone would like a hotel done, that would be better.
That's what you'd like to do.
Well,
I'd love you guys to do a hotel.
Having gone to so many,
absolutely gorgeous.
You know, when working and traveling and going to say, I think I've just picked up in my mind has a filing cabinet of tips for how to do a hotel. So I want to express it one day.
Okay, we'll put the word out there.
But also it's about, I think with the clients, it's always about showing them that houses or homes don't happen overnight. You would not want to arrive into a house where everything is done and that you haven't really put your own little stamp on. And even if it is a little stamp, it's still very important that people, you know, we're there to help the journey, but really the journey has to be taken on by the client as well, because they must enjoy ultimately their home that they live in. So I think it's really important that clients understand about adding their own little bits of personality, and the more it grows, the better a house becomes, or the more a home it becomes. So I think that's a nice way to kind of like talk about the slow grow of it. It's just about letting people also bring in their bits and pieces.
Yeah. So Scarlett, when you're designing a space, do you put a sort of cross on the wall and say, this is where I want a piece of art from Saffron? how does it kind of work? Because I know that she's more involved. I'm talking about you as if you're not here.
Yeah.
You explain.
I'm here.
You explain how it works.
Normally, as Saffron said about the client, is that you kind of work out what collection they've got, and if
they've got one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if let's say a client has a lot of art, I may look at rehanging it in a different way. Or, I mean, sometimes it's as simple as that, is that actually they haven't thought about it on this wall or that. I mean, nothing's right or wrong in this industry, in my view.
And Scarlett, what about, where do you go and find your inspiration?
Yeah, actually the V&A recently, I went to and looked through kind of archives and went into their library and started looking at lots of, now we're looking at, you know, a new textile collection. So that's always an enormous source of inspiration. Kind of collecting things, auctions, going to antique markets. And, you know, and when we started this new project, this new client, I actually just looked through lots of World of Interior. Oh, we've got a massive collection of the old magazines. And it's quite, you know, and still going through just a mixture of different spaces. That's an incredible source of inspiration for me, really.
And as a studio, we have a WhatsApp group called Inspo. And so if any of us are out and about, we're just showing each other things, learning from each other. And that's just a really nice, you know, because we're all looking at different things. It's a really nice way to stay connected. Yeah. I mean, you know, modern technology has given a job like this such great moving forward, because, you know, WhatsApp, buying antiques online. I mean, there's part of me that misses the whole, like, you get in a van and you go traveling around the country and you sort of find things that no one was looking for. You can still do that, but there is a lot online now. So you just got to know your measurements in your mind, otherwise you get it completely wrong. I bought a painting once online that I thought was about sort of like 25 centimetres high, and it was like a metre and a half.
That is the problem with it. And Scarlett, where do you see, what are your hopes for the studio? Because you're still relatively young.
Yeah, I want to keep the kind of ethos we have. You know, my brother works with us, who's always been, was right at the start of the journey with Saffron and I. And then we have another designer, Bella, and a studio kind of manager who looks after the textiles and everything. And that is a really lovely size for us. I think we'd probably add another couple depending on projects, but I think that's where, you know, we don't want to become a mega studio. I like having a really strong relationship with each and every one of them, and my time with them in the studio is so precious, and we get quite a lot of joy out of seeing them grow. And, you know, even if they move on, it's, you know, been someone left recently, but it was such, every bit that I've done with them has been such a journey. So I think still being able to be involved in the nitty gritty is what I want, and still being creative in every project and having a relationship with the client, because essentially that's kind of what they come to you for, is, you know, being in Saffron. And if you can't give that, it's hard, you know, it's really hard to keep winning, basically, I've realized.
But I think that's what kind of sets you apart, really, is first of all that the two of you are so different in so many, in lots of ways, but also you have that kind of underlying thread, that connection with each other of how you want things to look. And I think that keeping yourselves small, you know, I think that's where your kind of success is going to be, in that kind of, in that area.
I feel that, you know, I really hope Scarlett will be running this for years and years and years and years and years, and the essence stays the same. I don't think there's a race. You know, I know a lot of people set up studios and they want their name known and everything and products and blah. And I just feel that this is so much more romantic, to just keep flowing on and on and on and on and on. So, you know, that would be how I see it.
No, I agree. Yeah, long term. I totally agree. And also, I think also, well, like with the product or with, you know, as we were saying, the ceramicists, the people we work with, the, you know, the natural dye, Catherine, who we work with a lot, I've realized that with every little bit we do with them, it's not a quick collaboration. It's quite, you know, you see little things and then you build on them, you add this stitch, you take that away, you do. And so it is a slow progression of making that perfect product. So you just have to roll with that. And then when you're trying to do it really quickly, creatively, it becomes hard. So I think you just can't put too much pressure on yourself. And, you know, if you have that and it becomes something, then amazing. But if you start working on something and then it keeps coming back, sometimes I have to give up. But supporting these makers and artists and being in that world, it's not really, really fast always. So,
yeah, no, I totally agree. Anyway, thank you very much. It's really lovely to chat to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. You can hear more House Guest on British Airways In-Flight Entertainment in the audio section. You can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett.